Hi, it's Garen with Shamrock Roofing and Construction. Need a new roof fast? Consider Shamrock Roofing and Construction. Our rapid repair team will get you a quote within 24 hours and will always repair before we replace. One call does it all. ShamrockRoofer.com.
Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com. I want your keys up. My Spanish Harlem.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Marco, I sure would like to hear the interview that was conducted on the field right after the game with NFL Network's James Palmer and Chiefs' seventh-round pick Jalen Watson, who had a 99-yard interception return for a touchdown. That's the longest go-ahead touchdown in the fourth quarter by a rookie in NFL history. Boy, that's a lot of qualifiers there. But here, James Palmer talks to one of the stars of the game, Jalen Watson, last night on the field.
Well, Jalen, you win the game with 99.5-yard interception return for a touchdown. Run us through the play and what you saw.
We know they like to swap receivers down the goal line, so coaches did a good job game planning. We switched, and the ball was just in my chest.
I know when you got drafted, 243rd overall, you said you sprinted down the street in excitement.
Right.
Where did you run faster, when you got drafted down the street or this 99 yards here?
I think when I got drafted, because that was like the 10th play of that drive. I couldn't breathe. I was tired, but I'm just enjoying it, man, soaking it all in.
This is your first year in the NFL, but Andy Reid has always, in the offseason, even going back to spring, worked on divisional opponents. What kind of preparation did he give you guys for this early monster matchup against the Chargers?
We've been preparing since OTAs for Cardinals and Chargers. We knew it was going to be a short week. We know this is a big division rival, so we had to come here and take care of business.
Go enjoy it.
Yep, thank you.
Jalen Watson, stud.
So he said something there that stands out to me, too, that's an underrated thing. It's just another one of those little things that you're talking about, Steven, that could be the difference between winning and losing games against the Chargers. He said, when they asked him, did you run faster on that pick six or back when you got drafted? And he said, well, probably when I got drafted because I was exhausted by the time I had that pick six because we've been on the field for so long. The guy that he was covering was even more exhausted to the point where he tried to come out of the game and didn't run his route properly. Andy Reid works on fitness like crazy in the preseason with this team. They practice fast, they run, and they cover a ton of ground. And the Chiefs have done that. Remember Tyreek Hill, we always talk about that. By the fourth quarter, he has the other guy worn out because you run in motion five times before every snap and then run 70 yards down the field and then be ready to do it over again. And I don't think you think about fitness a lot in football because a lot of times you huddle up and there's times to sit down and rest. But there's other times in the game where they try to turn it into a track meet and they try to go fast. If Jalen Watson isn't in really good fitness, he's not in a position when they go hurry up like that to pick that ball off and run it back 100 yards. That's just another little element of preparation that Andy Reid's teams seem to be better at than most of the other teams in the NFL.
I can hear people getting mad right now. Tell them to quit using soccer terms.
Yeah, I know, but it's true, though. What other word would you use?
Being
in shape?
Yeah.
But it's like fitness. It's like the cardio part of it. It's not just the.
You had a football tweet in soccer terms, where you know, like instead of saying you want this game tied in the fourth quarter, I said I won it on even terms.
Well, because, you won it level. Is that what you say?
Things like that.
I said yeah. Well, I said play. Start the fourth quarter on even terms.
It's very elitist.
Because my point being there, and the reason I did that, though, is because my point is, you talked about it. Okay, so the debate about whether you kicked a field goal or not. I was saying I would kick the field goal because the reason I'd want to go into the fourth quarter like that is you're not chasing points. Maybe I should have said it that way. That's the term that you use in football. You're not chasing points.
Know your audience.
But I think my phone has like 17 different languages, and Nate's got two. Like he can speak. He talks to his phone in English, and it tweets in soccer.
But I think you've used a couple of analogies. Used a baseball analogy. Used a boxing analogy. Other sports work with analogies in sports. And so my point being is when you're behind, you change the way you play the game. And you talked about, okay, so the Chargers got the ball right back and drove right down the field. And it looked like they were going to score a touchdown. But here's the thing to me. So even if they did, the Chiefs were still only down one score. Had they gone for it and failed, and then the Chargers drove down the field and scored a touchdown, it's a two-score game in the fourth quarter, which changes everything.
I thought it was ridiculous to me, truly. Jalen Watson with a tremendous 99-yard goal. it would have been different had the Chargers scored that touchdown.
For sure.
We talked about this. Staley looked like he's been neutered in the offseason.
Mr. Fourth Down, go for it. They punted so many times in Chiefs territory.
Yeah.
And that first drive when the receiver was able to go forward and get within fourth and one and a half, and everyone's going, they're going to go for it.
Staley
took a 3-0 lead. Was that Gerald Everett on that one as well?
The analytics crowd
had to be going crazy.
They were tweeting. They said, Staley, you've broken my heart tonight. Because it changed.
Yeah, it was like 7 minutes left in the game, and he didn't go for it.
But both guys, both coaches were conservative in that regard. But to give you some credit, Nate. So first, I retweeted this, Stan, because I like to highlight my dear friend, Mr. Todd Lebo. As you can see, I retweeted this. I just said, you know, everyone's looking at you, but I just circled. I said, look who's there grinding, yeah. Right? When you see that, he's grinding, right? He's got his glasses on his head. Todd Lebo interviewing Justin Reed. That means, and by the way,
is he photobombing? Because I saw him on the front page of the Kansas City Star the other day.
He knows how to find
the
key. He's like Chase Daniel.
That means business. He puts his glasses on his head, then you know.
Oh, on the top of his head, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you better watch.
Because I sat next to him for most of the game. I was
Did he put his glasses on top of his head?
No. Was he was relaxed.
This
is serious Todd Lebo down in the locker room.
But the retweet that I had, I did for the picture, and it circled, and I love it because that's my wallpaper now. It was the quote from Justin Reed that was tweeted out with that. Did you see that quote?
No, I just saw the picture of
Justin Reed. We felt like we were the more conditioned team tonight.
Condition. There you go. That's a better term.
And a week one.
Well, I'm just telling you, he's making the point for
right,
you.
Right.
Week one of the NFL, it showed it. I mean, we're week two for the Chiefs.
But
the Chiefs try. They try in preseason. They work. And they don't get as exhausted in week one. They have more proficiency. I mean, the bad play that we saw, Arizona, Green Bay, Dallas, keep going, the list, Cincinnati, these teams that weren't ready for the preseason weren't in as good a shape, Nate.
in any sport, you know that. You feel that.
Hey, you talk about boxers, you get into the eighth round,
trying
right?
to drag me into that.
The Chiefs dominated. What quarter did the Chiefs dominate? The only quarter. The fourth quarter.
Who was it that said fatigue makes cowards of us all?
Marco actually said that about an hour ago.
After you get late in practice, it used to be a tradition all the time. At some point, the coaches would say, fourth quarter, and you'd raise your hands up with four, and they'd run you a little harder to push right through it. And the Chiefs were dominant. They were trailing at the end of the third quarter. They were behind.
So they
dominated the fourth quarter, physically, being in shape, all those things.
And you guys will see this. Justin Reed's a thoughtful individual. That's one of the guys.
He had a big play, too. That pass breakup.
Absolutely. But you want to listen to him. He's very interesting to listen to when he talks football. And so when he says that, he's not a guy talking trash or whatever else. He says, look, we felt like we were the better conditioned team. And they were, and it makes a difference.
And he also knows what it's like to be on a team that's run poorly, right? So I'm sure that when he got to camp with the Chiefs, he's like, oh, this is different. This is a different level of professionalism here. And the reason I use the term fitness, honestly, is because there's different types of shape to be in. If you're an offensive lineman, there's the type of shape where how much can you lift? Can you push a 400-pound object five times in a row? You know, then there's the kind of, can you sprint five times? Then there's the kind, can you slowly run for 26 miles? There's all these different kinds of fitness. And in the NFL, I don't think people a lot of times think about the part where you run a whole bunch, and then before you even have a chance to catch your breath, you got to run again. and then again, and then again. That type of fitness.
And also means something when they're in hurry up like that.
That's what I mean.
Gerald Everett.
That's my point, because it used to be, well, we're going to huddle up for 20 seconds and everybody can catch their breath a little bit, and then we're going to go max effort again for 15 seconds. Then we're going to huddle up. But in the NFL now, when teams go hurry up on you, you don't have the chance to catch your breath. It's like, okay, for seven plays in a row, you got to go max effort, and you still have to have the lungs to do it.
That's very impressive what you said there, Nate. That very modern. Marco likes what you said.
Right.
Where's Mike Boddicker right now? I hope you're listening, Mike.
He is.
I hope you're listening, Mike. I will say what you would say right now, and I believe it through every bone in my body. It is ridiculous that we're talking about this. These guys should be in shape.
100%.
To play a whole possession. I mean, Bosa's the worst for the Chargers. You know, a couple of plays and a critical point. It might be 2 minutes left in the game, the opponent driving the ball, 3rd and 7. He can go to sack, and he might I'm tired. It's ridiculous that we are talking about NFL's players being worn out ever. Come on. They don't play both ways. It's not 1952 high school.
And most of them don't even play
school.
All the snaps, right? Like, they sub in
They rotate the defensive linemen all the time. There's no way they can play every down. Are you kidding me? This is a joke. But it's true.
Right.
It is true. I got to say a couple of things about Nate since he's here today, because, you know, he brought this soccer stuff up, and I thought about him last night. Marco, you ready? You're good at monitoring this as well. The Chargers, in soccer terms, had game control. Is that something you guys use?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
They were the better team, but they did not maximize their opportunities. Much like what you guys talk about, well, they had total control, but the score 0-0. No matter what, it's always 0-0. But you feel like, you know, you had game control. But they didn't score enough goals. They didn't get enough points. They were only ahead by 3 when they dominated the first half.
Yeah.
And it looked completely good. Yeah. But when the Chiefs got their chance, they scored 20 straight points. And the other thing I'll say for Nate is we've not mentioned this guy yet. He had a pretty good first game, and he had his best pass reception I've seen him as a pro, and he had his longest run as a pro. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. We haven't mentioned him yet this morning that I know of.
As a receiver.
And he had a big run in a 4-minute drill, covered a football, took the face mask, grabbed his face mask, still ran. But the catch over the middle, the game was on the line still.
That angle route?
That was you think about him being in the passing game, and that's usually flipping the ball out to the side, like they did with Eckler a number of times. Then he makes a move. Do you gain 2? Do you gain 10? Okay, fine. But he was down the middle. Like he's Travis Kelce. That is not easy. When you're a running back running through the linebacker safety area, he not only caught it, he caught it firmly, easily, and then ran over a guy. And being in a stadium, you could tell, I don't know if you could tell on TV, he was one step away from going all the way.
Yeah.
He had the Chargers thought, oh, he's down, and all of a sudden he breaks a tackle. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire, even though they used a lot of running backs, and right away they were rotating guys, he had – his best receiving play, I remember him as a pro. You got to say his best run.
Yep. Two things you want to see from him that you haven't seen: him more involved in the passing game and an explosive play. Two things that that didn't happen last year. And to your point about, and this is interesting, and I know some people are going to say, well, they want to see him get more touches. I say no, because you limit Clyde's touches, you keep him healthy, and maybe you get that explosive play right at the end of the fourth quarter. McKinnon actually out-snapped Clyde Edwards-Helaire last night. McKinnon had 27 snaps. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 25 snaps. And Pacheco had 5 snaps. And look, that's smart.
And by the way, Pacheco threw an incredible block early in the game that was right in front of me on a pass play.
That's smart. That makes sense. And because McKinnon, he does a nice job when he's in there. But put him on a snap count. Take care of Clyde. So he can be available for every game. And again, the point you're making, so then he is fresh and has got those legs to come up with those big plays in the fourth quarter.
So one of the things
at the end of the year.
Yeah.
One of the things, like, so when you watch the game at home, there's all kinds of stuff you see that you don't see in the stadium. But sometimes there's things you see in the stadium that you can't see from watching at home.
Yeah, like X Factor.
And I didn't get to see him yesterday. But our seats were behind the Chargers bench, so you can see right across the field to the Chiefs bench. And one thing that hit me one time was McKinnon had a nice play, and immediately after the play, he was subbed off, and Pacheco came on. And Edwards-Helaire was like waiting for McKinnon as he came off the side, jumping up and down and high fiving
him. I said last night he was right minded.
Yeah.
His enthusiasm was real. And it wasn't for show.
Yeah, he was happy for
McKinnon. It's like he scored his winning touchdown or something.
And what hit me about it was the way they're using the running back now is the way we've always seen wide receivers get used my whole life. Even when I played football in eighth grade, it was when you were a wide receiver, you would sit out and they would run a couple routes and then it's like, all right, you're going in for that receiver and he's coming out. But it used to be in the NFL, the running back was in the whole time. Now, like the way the Chiefs are using, or it used to be even with Andy Reid, I feel like this series is Edwards-Helaire's and then the next series is McKinnon's. But now it's like two or three plays and then there's and the other two running backs are standing right next to each other, just like a position group. And they see themselves as a team. And so when Pacheco has a big run, they're happy for him. And when McKinnon has a big, instead of thinking, well, I should have been the one out there carrying it. And that's a huge mind space to have your team and your number one draft pick, who's supposed to be the starting running back, is celebrating the other guy's success as he comes off the field.
Right, that's at the beginning of the game, too.
Yeah.
It was very early.
Yeah.
It was like when you'd think Clyde Edwards-Helaire should be in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, he got rotated right through.
They're just a position group like the wide receivers.
I saw that. I mean, it's unbelievable that I was watching the same thing. But he was so enthusiastic and positive. And I said, you know, that's why he made those great plays later. He's in the right mindset. There's just, I don't know.
Get your mind right.
Hey, that's good coaching, too.
That body language was excellent. Like, he is wanting the team to be successful. He's wanting to help the running backs. He's not worried about his reputation or any criticism you might have. He may not even read the tweets after the game. I mean, he may be that unusual.
You know, I was just tickled to see Justin Watson catch that touchdown pass.
That was so hard to concentrate.
Yeah, and look, and for those of us that were up there and spent any time at camp, and you know, you always hesitate to do this because we've been down that road so many times where, you know, player X, man, he looked good in training camp, did this, did that, you get to the regular season, and he never dresses or you don't see anything from him. But you could just sense the way Andy Reid talked about him, the way Patrick Mahomes talked about him, and just watching him go about his business throughout training camp and the preseason games, that Justin Watson had carved a role on this team where he was. There's going to be games where he's going to make a huge play, or he's going to be the guy that Mahomes looks for in a crucial situation. He had gained that trust of both coach and player when talking about Watson between Reed and Watson and Mahomes, and so it was so cool to see him come up with that gigantic touchdown on a great route. Let's listen real quick after the game. This is what Justin Watson had to say about his touchdown.
I mean, so before that touchdown even happens, I got to give a huge shout out to one of our athletic trainers, Tiffany Morton. You know, there was at one point this week, I was questionable, and she's the one that got me ready to play today, got me comfortable, got me confident. So without her, there is no touchdown, there is no me running that route. So a huge shout out to Tiff. But man, it was just fun. You know, we talked about that route in the receiver room, that I wanted that route. And just, you know, never want to see one of our receivers go down, but just want to give them confidence that if they do have to take a playoff field, that I'm going to come in, I'm going to do my job. And so, and there's been a lot of work from Texas with Pat through the offseason to go in to make that catch, and just glad to see all the work show.
And I think back to a time that the Chiefs were practicing indoors, and Watson spoke with the media, and Andy Reid spoke with the media that day, and I asked Watson about his comfort level with the offense and, you know, the decision to come here. And he said he came here because he knew the emphasis on special teams, and that was a clear path for him to make the team. But he said that he took it with obviously it's very important for him to learn all the positions. He said because if something happens in a game, it was like foreshadowing, if something happens in a game where a guy gets dinged, a guy has to tie his shoe, a guy needs to get his helmet fixed, and I have to come in for one or two plays, I want to be able to go anywhere on that field and be able to make a play, and I want everyone to trust me to do that. What happens? Mecole Hardman goes out, right? He goes out for a play, in comes Watson, and he's ready to go, and bam, Mahomes doesn't hesitate to look for him. He makes the catch. Unbelievable. I loved it.
Well, the ready to go, the ISO that they have on him from the end zone angle, the passion with which he ran that route the whole way, it was like he was in Texas with Patrick Mahomes, one receiver, one quarterback. He ran the route like he was the only guy on the field. You know, the little move he made to make it look like he's going outside before he turned up, he started sprinting, then he looked up. You got to start, you know, the great receivers say, I don't need to look up too quickly. I need to separate by sprinting. The 100-meter guys in the Olympics, they kind of keep their head down for a little bit and bust out. He did that. Then he could put his head up, and the catch is way harder than if the defender would have been on his hip all the way where he knew where he was. It was an easier catch than when he would look like his view plane was he's wide open, and then the defender flashed. And the hand came up, and that's when you start thinking, oh, do I need to jump up and knock it down so it doesn't get intercepted? I mean, that catch was so hard because he got open, and then the defender recovered. It's incredible. But you said something else, Stephen, that we did not talk about enough when he got here. We talked about him at training camp, but we did not say he not only has the confidence of Patrick Mahomes over the summer, the coaching staff and Andy Reid, Tom Brady. I mean, the fact that he learned under Tom Brady last year in Tampa Bay gives him just such an advancement of how you do things as a pro, what your expectations are, and how you run these routes as if you're the main receiver. You may be the third guy, the least likely to get it, but you better be ready.
So here's a couple of other numbers from last night. Patrick Mahomes faced a heavy blitz rate for the second straight game. The Chargers blitzed Mahomes on 13 of 36 dropbacks. That's 36% after blitzing him at a 25% or lower rate in both matchup last season. And so last night Mahomes was 8 of 13 for 103 yards and a touchdown against the blitz. Here's Next Gen Stats tweeted this out about Brandon Staley and the Chargers facing three fourth down situations in the first half. And so then Next Gen Stats and the recommendations, he only made the optimal call once on the fourth and one at the KC 49 when they went for it, and the other two on the fourth and twos at the KC 47 and the KC 48, both the numbers say go for it, and he didn't go for it. So again, that's significant because we talked about this with Jesse Newell, and I asked him, do you think he's going to change his approach because of all the criticism that he heard? And it only matters in big games like this, right? And I don't care what – of course it did. Of course he heard that. You know, and like Jesse and all these analytics guys, and I hope it doesn't. That's what Jesse said. I hope it doesn't change. And that was I was very surprised. And if I always go by this. You know, what does your opponent want you to do? And I'm rooting for the Chiefs. Punt. Please punt. You know, so it's just very interesting to see if that will continue and he changes his decision-making process because of all the criticism that he faced last year.
Well, last year he deserved the criticism. He was out of control. He lost the Chiefs game in Los Angeles because of his stupid decisions.
But did he go too far the other way last night?
Yes, he did. Both of them are two-way because I have no problem with analytics.
Right, but
I have no problem with game feel.
You know, now he's getting
football coaches know. Getting a feel, looking the players in their eyes, knowing who's tired. Do you have a good play? Andy Reid said, "Hey, we're looking. Do we have a good play down there?" When they were deciding at the 1 yard line after missing three times, should we kick a field goal, tie it 17-17? Should we go for it? He talked about some of the things that you do. Those are all in play. I have no problem with going for fourth down if it makes sense. The quarterback sneak obviously was smart by the Chargers to do it, especially when the Chiefs allowed a gap over left guard that was so big, it was just a gimme. Herbert got to the ground without even being touched after gaining a yard. But like you said, Chiefs fans are holding their breath saying when they cross midfield and get stopped that they didn't go for fourth down. Like, what the heck? They punted the ball. And when you punt the ball to Patrick Mahomes, there's a decent chance he's going to go into the end zone and get it to 20. It's just going to be a couple of plays and the Chiefs are going to be back there. Playing the Chiefs is different than playing other teams. I thought when they crossed midfield, they should have gone for fourth down those two times. And at the beginning of the game, I guess I don't have a problem with him kicking a field goal. I thought it was – everyone thought, oh, this is Staley. He's not going to take a field goal to go up 3-0. He's on the first possession of the game, he's going to go for it. I'm okay with that one, like coming back off of that analytics a little bit. But when he crossed over midfield twice – and try to pooch the punt against the Chiefs. I would not have done that.
He's getting crushed with this now too. Just like he's gonna throw his phone out the airplane window.
Well, I mean, a part of it is like, what do you really believe in?
But how about, you know? But also, guess what? You should pay attention to the game situation, who you're playing, how you're playing, what the situation is. And I just thought in both those situations, I was thrilled. They're punting. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
I'm good with it.
And at the end of the game, when they're down by 7, it was 4th and 6. Herbert was struggling at that time, and that might have been the tie-breaking
decision.
Right. But still, He gave, the game ended when he punted the ball because Edwards-Helaire run gave the Chiefs a 10-point lead instead of 7. So that may have been just as bad a decision right there. Giving Patrick Mahomes the ball with 5 minutes left in the game, yeah, up by 7, what are the odds of you winning? Just practical. You don't need to go to some statistical model.
Not good.
Chiefs win, you know?
Not good percentage. All right, let's get a quick update. Ian Rappaport was just on NFL Network with an update on Justin Herbert, because that's going to be a big story. And look, yep, he was hurt last night. There's no doubt about it, but he was hurt because the Chiefs were knocking the crap out of him. But it is significant because now we want to know, is he going to be out? Is he going to be gone for a while? Is he going to not miss a game at all? Here's what Ian Rappaport had to say about Justin Herbert.
Brandon Staley saying you're not going to see anyone tougher in the NFL than Justin Herbert, and really anyone who does more for their team, puts their team in more of a position to win than Justin Herbert. That was evident last night. He was in certainly a significant amount of pain, was down on the field, back on the sideline, ends up coming back at the game inexplicably and making all those plays you just showed there. He did have x-rays after the game. It appears, it seems that x-rays were negative, just judging from the words of Brandon Staley, that we did not get definitive word on how the ribs or rib cage or rib cartilage or all that is for Justin Herbert. He's going to have more tests today. And, you know, guys, a couple important things here. First of all, just because his x-rays are negative, if that is the case on his rib, doesn't necessarily mean he's out of the woods. There is rib cartilage issues, which we've seen, which can actually be more painful. There's internal injuries, which is obviously the most scary, and we're not going to know until he goes through a battery of tests today. The other good thing football-wise is they got some extra days, a little mini bye here. They got the Jaguars all the way in next Sunday at about 4 p.m., so they got a little extra time to see if Justin Herbert can get back out on the field next week after a tough blow last night.
All right, so there's an update on Justin Herbert. Now, Brandon Staley was asked about a couple of punts that he elected to kick in Chiefs territory. Here is Brandon Staley answering those questions last night.
Yeah, I just wanted to give our defense a chance to compete. I really love the way we were playing. I felt like that was the formula to flip the field there. You know, I felt like we were aggressive when we needed to be tonight. You know, we converted all four of our fourth downs, but just felt like, you know, with who's over there and the way our defense was playing, I felt like the field position would be a big edge for our defense to be able to pin them back there. And, you know, I like the way our defense competed tonight.
So they had two fourth downs on the last drive, where it
and
looked
a quarterback
like,
sneak. That's three. So he said they were 4 for 4.
Yeah, but
they're not game situational. I mean,
right.
Herbert's two fourth down throws.
No, there was no decision.
Were incredible
yeah.
when they were down by 10.
Right, and you had to go
the throw downfield and the throw in the back of the end zone. That doesn't count. He again, the coaching mismatch in the AFC West with Andy Reid and Belichick up as the two best coaches, and these other guys just trying to figure out how they're going to coach their team. They've got athletes. They've got quarterbacks. Hey, Raiders, Broncos, Chargers. But you know what? It is a mismatch in coaching. And the thing he's not factoring in is Tommy Townsend. I need to mention him as well. 74-yarder, 60-yarder, 50-yarders. He rarely gets a chance to punt the ball where he can blast it because the Chiefs are so good. But he'll flip the field right back at you in a snap of the finger. So you don't like play field position football against the Chiefs and beat them. Not in 2022.
He also, on the short yardage or the short field punt, dropped one right inside the 10 that could have bounced anywhere, and Watson came within about a foot of getting it right at the goal line, too. Like, that just didn't bounce the right way. But
Chiefs punt, yeah.
Yeah.
Could have been down at the half-yard line.
Yeah.
Watson it was really
that close
to it. Yeah.
So they...
But the coaching mismatch is unbelievable.
That's why you picked the Chiefs in the West. That was my whole like. Sure, everyone upgraded quarterbacks. Who's the second best coach in the West? I don't know. Who knows? Staley, maybe. Joshua Daniels. Want to put your money on him? He was a disaster the first time around. Where I saw Nathaniel Hackett. You want him managing your time? No. So it's Andy Reid by a landslide. But let me.
It makes a difference. In
Hell
games
yes.
like this,
makes
because
a huge
when we
difference.
Add up the games and the Chiefs are 13-4 or 14-3, there are going to be games like this. Because that's the other side of this. It's not going to be a free run for the Chiefs. Arizona was not ready to play. Kyler Murray was down in the dumps on the third play of the game. It was domination. The Chiefs are not the dominant team in the NFL. They're one of the best teams in the NFL. Buffalo is really, really good. The Chiefs might be right there. They don't have to take second to anybody, but they're going to play a lot of close games. They did not play a perfect game. They're not going to dominate people. But they're still going to win the West, I think.
Sure they are.
Because Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs knowing they're going to win ball games, and they're already, by the way, 2-0 with a head-to-head against the Chargers.
Somebody we have not mentioned that we must give kudos to, as Romeo Crennel might say, Noah Gray. I mean, I don't know if you saw or if you could tell how close that was. I mean, that onside kick, it
squirted way away. Usually the kicking team gets it.
Watson tried to
field
it.
I couldn't believe the Chargers weren't there.
It was on the field forever, and I screamed, and I'll be honest with you, I put my head down, and I just waited to hear what they said.
The whole stadium did
as
that.
The
whole stadium. There was a gasp, like the air of the entire stadium just got sucked out of it because everyone went.
And again, that the ballad of the Chargers, right there, perfect onside kick. It did everything you wanted to. It's just laying on the grass of Arrowhead Stadium, and who dives on it? Noah Gray.
Does not bobble it. Does not. He had to run over there, dive. Oh. Did not bobble it. Because once that ball squirted away from the initial pack,
I screamed.
It's usually 90% chance that the kicking team's going to get it, 10% the Chiefs, and he got over there. He also made a nice catch earlier in the game as well. So the Chiefs roster, you know, they cut some guys who are legitimate NFL players. Their roster's deep, but there's a mentality. They know they're going to win. They never doubt it. Down 17-7. Third quarter, all the momentum against them, and they just act like no big deal and end up dominating the game. And after you walk, you see the players walk out of the locker room, they're just strutting out of there. I mean, they thought they dominated every play. You don't think Frank Clark and Chris Jones and all those guys, you don't think they thought we just dominated those guys. I mean, look at Herbert. He's all beat up. And like, did you watch the first three quarters? Because they were the better team, not the Chiefs. But the Chiefs don't doubt it, and they make plays. And I don't know if I've seen a greater coaching mismatch than the Chiefs coach compared to the other three. I mean, that's a great debate. Like, which of those three guys do you want to say is the second best?
The entire staff, you know. It's just really. I mean, it's tremendous, and that's why the Chiefs will win the West again. Chiefs win it last night. We'll take a break back after this on WHB.
Yeah, I think that's what we said going into camp. It's going to be everybody. It's not going to be one guy. Justin Watson came in when McColl was a little banged up, and he got McColl's route, and he won against a Pro Bowl All-Pro corner. For guys like that to make their imprint on the game, that'll help us out as we get into these tough games like this, that we can get touchdowns and stuff like that from everybody.
That's the other aspect of that play that I love so much. I think Watson was the first signing of the offseason for the Chiefs. He signed a futures contract. And then J.C. Jackson, one of the highest profile signings. He signed for a bigger contract than any other corner, right? I mean, he was the number one corner on the market. And so you got this guy who signed to a futures contract, might make the team, coming to Kansas City to make his name on special teams and try to carve a role, makes a team as the fifth wide receiver, and he beats one of the best corners who signed one of the biggest contracts of the offseason in one of the biggest plays of the game. Just beats him one-on-one and scores a touchdown. You love to see it.
Yeah, one of the things that you say at big-time athletics is you're only as good as your weakest link. So how good is your fifth receiver? Yeah, that stuff matters because guys get hurt. Like McCole Hardman, it's not only you get tired or you get injured. And sometimes they say get in there and can you make that play with complete concentration? Just an amazing route, great concentration, but the catch was so hard. Just a great game. And again, Patrick Mahomes' best plays in this game are like double the good of what the other good quarterbacks are doing, because we've seen some spectacular football from Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, and others in the NFL already in week one. But their plays, you know, you say, hey, show me your best three plays. And it'll be Patrick Mahomes' best three plays wipe the others' best three plays out.
It's unbelievable.
You know, my friends are going to be getting on me, Steven, I got to say. No, I don't really. This is Chiefs Friday, right?
Talk about the pummeling.
No, I'm just going to say, boy, Steven caught a big break. He didn't have to talk to you about the K-State-Missouri game. So
I'm happy to tell you. What did I tell you going into that game? Missouri has big question marks at quarterback and offensive line. And did that stand out to you at all?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I just wanted to say that so all my friends don't get on me because they love the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So they're going to love the Chiefs talk. And it was a great celebration, great football. I mean, Al Michaels, I only listened to the first quarter, but he said, I listened so closely, and he is so brilliant.
I love him.
He's so good.
It was unbelievable how good he is.
Did you enjoy the game on Amazon, or did you just listen to them?
I only watched the first quarter. I was there.
Right.
I was working with Amazon before the game. I was down in the field.
I loved it. I loved the graphics. I loved everything.
I thought Kirk Herbstreit did a really good job of stepping it up and playing right along with Al Michaels, because he sets a tone as this is the elite play-by-play that you're going to get. And again, the way he got information in and allowed Kirk Herbstreit a ton of time to analyze, for replays to be run, and everything else. He told you about players. He told you about situations. His open is the most incredible thing ever. For him to sit up there and talk for like 1 minute and put everything in perspective.
Yep. Yeah. He sets the table.
And it can't be scripted. He can't.
Game.
He just cannot be reading that. That is just him naturally putting the story together. Just a quick hitter. As there's not much time. But all game long, I thought Kirk Herbstreit, in the first quarter that I listened to, I thought he did a really nice job of stepping his game up. Not that he doesn't do a good job in college, but he's not the NFL guy, right? And he sounded just like an NFL guy, and Al Michaels was killing it. So, man, Thursday night football has been a little hard to watch because the players a lot of times are worn out. The preparation is minimal, right, for the games. A lot of times the uniforms are stupid that they were doing those color rush awful things for a while. So Thursday nights have generally been disappointing to me in the NFL over the last 5 years. But not this year. The Chiefs and the Chargers got after it. It was big time. And with Al Michaels doing the game, wow. It's just amazing that NBC said time to go. It's just amazing. So we're lucky Amazon came on, because I don't know what other people think about it, but he is so good. It was – I can't wait. I saw the game live. I had no problem concentrating. And I just watched the first quarter because I wanted to see how it went down. And because I was working with Amazon doing stuff in the pregame, I was there when they had some of the big meetings pregame. Like, this is historical, guys. When Amazon is doing more things with the NFL, they're going to talk about this is the first night ever that we put it together. And the resources they put together are on it, behind the scenes. It was incredible. The number of trucks they practiced for. They've been in town for weeks. You know a lot of the people that work behind the scenes, camera people and other stage managers. You know them all. I mean, they're people from Kansas City that work in the region. They were getting paid all week long, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They're putting in 8-hour shifts. They were practicing everything. I mean, Amazon said, we got to kill it right here. Well, they're going to kill it no matter what they did. They could just have two cameras out there with Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit. I mean, those guys were incredible. So I can't wait to watch the last three quarters just to see if it continues on, because it's so much fun to watch a game with Al Michaels.
One complaint. Small complaint. This, and I saw other people make this somehow, and I don't even know how they would fix it, but it made it seem like there was no crowd noise whatsoever. Mm. And they totally, and it, and that's
later in the game,
and just because
not at the beginning of the game,
but it, no, even they said as it went on, it somehow adjusted or whatever else, and the crowd was it.
Well, I think about this, like Staley overreacting on fourth down. Go back and listen to this, those who are TV experts. In the open, when Kirk Herbstreit was talking with Al Michaels, I thought they had the mix such that you couldn't hear them. The crowd noise was overwhelming them. Have you listened to that yet?
I haven't listened to that, but it's a very common problem in sports broadcasting.
It takes brilliance to mix that, because we need to hear the announcers. Yeah. But I thought I was having trouble hearing them because the crowd noise was so big. So what happens if a producer says, hey, the mix is wrong, and you're the mixer back there? The one thing that the rule number one, Stephen, is make sure the crowd noise never overwhelms the announcer. And if I'm back there adjusting and they told me we didn't start off exactly right, I'm saying crowd noise down. You know what I'm saying?
So
does that make sense? Yeah. Like, we are not going to let the crowd overwhelm the announcers.
So here's a little inside.
Oh, you're a Fox guy. You're a national Fox guy. Tell us the inside.
Well, this isn't from my experience with Fox, because I've never done an on-site game for Fox. Every game I've done for Fox has been from a studio in L.A.
Oh, okay.
But working the sporting games and working the Royals games for all these years, the guy that was one of the best producers I worked for, Joe Lavero, he was the one that told me this phrase, and it's an old phrase in broadcasting. When it comes to doing a live sporting event, the audio is 5% of the show and 90% of the problem. It's the hardest. It's the hardest job to crew, finding the good audio guy. It's the hardest job to do on the whole crew, getting
because
the audio mix right.
The crowd noise at Arrowhead's part of the story. It's part of it.
I thought it was fine in the first quarter. I listened closely in the first quarter. The crowd noise was fine. Go listen to the open, Stephen. Go listen to the open. And I thought, man, it's hard to hear Al and Kirk talk.
It's the hardest thing to get right on the show. And the thing is, for the audio guy, he's got to do it kind of by feel. I mean, you had the little, but you've got to.
And it can change as the game, even during a play, it could change.
And the more complicated.
There you go. Tom Fornelli, Amazon needs to work on the crowd audio. Arrowhead's one of the loudest places in the league, but it sounds like the fans are a half mile away.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And that matters, because you're trying
Only quibble was the audio and crowd noise. Arrowhead sounded subdued on the broadcast when I'm sure it was anything, but absolutely. Because as the game went on, I'll listen for that
because in the first quarter, I did not feel that way. And oh, by the way, we were at the stadium, Nate.
Yeah,
the crowd was subdued because the Chargers were driving up and down the field.
But once they had that three and out, where it was, I think Karlaftis had a hit, and then Willie Gay made a stop, and then Chris Jones had the sack near the goal line. During that three-play sequence, that crowd was going berserk.
It was crazy.
And that was awesome. And
but
it
that's,
is
Jeff Schwartz fourth said, quarter.
The crowd, this was after the interception, the crowd noise freaking sucks. Sounds like a morgue after that interception. And we all know how loud it is in Arrowhead right now. Matt Miller, I'm sure it's just adjustments to crowd noise, but it does not sound loud in Arrowhead. They need to change that. I mean, it was all,
And it might have been an overcorrection because of what you said. It might have been early in the game.
I think that's what it was.
You know?
It had to be because.
When you're sitting back, I don't know everything that's going on out there, but I was out there all afternoon with the Amazon people, and the amount of focus they had on doing this thing was so big that if you're the audio guy and someone mentions at all, hey, I think we have a little too much crowd noise during the open, the first time that Al and Kirk are on camera together, I felt like it was mixed a little bit where we couldn't hear. If they tell you, we got to be able to hear the announcers the rest of the game, what are you going to do back there?
Well, and
I mean, you're going to make sure the crowd does not get in the way of the announcers.
The audio is so much more complicated than you think about, too, because you have to get audio to every single headset. Every camera guy in the stadium, they probably had 35 cameras there. Those guys all have headsets where they're talking to each other.
And even like my wife said, why is the crowd so dead? I said, I don't think they did something because they must have overcorrected. They had to.
And here's another thing.
I'm not saying I heard it correctly, but I thought in the open, it caught my attention. I go, I don't think we can hear the announcers well enough.
Here's another thing to think about. On a complicated broadcast, there's more crowd mics, too. Like, they've got those little microphones in the corner of the end zone so that when a guy gets hit on the sideline right in front of the goal line, you can hear that crack of the pads. And the really good audio guys know which microphone is where. And as soon as that ball gets by, you know, if a guy's running the ball right in that side of the field, they'll turn that up a little bit so that you hear the crack of the pads. That's a hard job. I mean, audio is the hardest job on the whole crew.
Lebo, get up to the microphone. You see that I retweeted that?
Todd Lebo's in the house.
And I circled you because you grinding.
He was up very late last night.
Did you like that?
Todd's fitness level's really high for the...
Then someone replied, is that Jeff Bezos? He's a bald man. I was thinking when I was standing there, I said, I'm going to be in someone's shot and I have my stupid glasses on my head.
No, 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 no. I told Stan that that's when you mean business. Yeah. That's business.
When I put him down is when I mean
no,
business.
No, no, no. That's when he had like you, like, okay, all right, now what?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I was like,
I said you've been photobombing a lot of pictures lately.
No, I was
Chase Daniel in it over there.
I was stuck in the wrong spot. I got over
that's
there.
That's the
that
right
corner.
Spot. Yep.
Hey, by the way, the Chiefs locker room, haven't been inside there.
You like it?
They've redone it. It's like probably lower tier SEC now. Pretty good.
Mm. Wow.
And that's not a SEC? Joke. It's like mid tier SEC locker room finally, because it was high school locker room a few years ago. It was like, it was just nothing. It's nice.
Good job, Mr. Lebo.
Good job by you. I got a present for you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I enjoyed sitting with you, Todd. That was a lot of fun.
Stan had a good time. We had fun. Talking ball. Stan was running around hobnobbing with billionaires, though.
Is that what you were doing?
Part of the
hobnobbing with billionaires?
You said you were working for, you know.
I did hang out with some elite talent from Kansas City's perspective.
Oh.
Stan's a businessman. Yeah. He's not just a sports guy. He's a businessman.
John Sherman, owner of the Royals. Mm-hmm. I spent a quarter and a half with him and his suite.
Did you ask him how he was going to fix the pitching?
Did you ask him if Nate Eaton should play more? What if he would have? Hey, Stephen wanted
to
know.
He did mention, you'll be happy, he did mention pitching.
There you go. All right, good.
And he had the Royals on his TV.
Yeah.
And he had a crowd totally engaged. I mean, they were doing the tomahawk chop. This group loves the Chiefs. And John Sherman, I mean, what a good guy.
It's
unbelievable how good a guy he is. Everyone told me he's a great guy, and I just got A+. It was so much fun. In fact, I was watching first half with Todd. Great place to be. Spent a few hours on the field, all in the warm-ups. I was there when Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes got out of the car. I was helping Amazon identify guys. Like, that's Patrick Mahomes, or, you know, that's kind of an easy one.
That's Todd Lebo right there.
I could have said that's Todd Lebo, but I did say, you know, there's Paul Rudd. Right. There's, you know, there's the commissioner, so they can take shots. So I was just kind of pointing out people for them. And then I watched the first half with Todd. You know, so much fun up there talking ball with Todd.
What was Todd
And then at halftime, I said, well, I'm going to go down to this area, and suddenly I'm talking to John Sherman, and suddenly I'm in his suite for a quarter and a half, and I would have stayed the whole time because, Todd, you know what? Was excellent about that suite. Many things, obviously, right? It's at the old press box level, but also they had the windows open. I could actually hear the game. Up in the press box, you can't hear anything. You know, it's so quiet, can't hear the crowd. So, but anyway, Mr. Sherman and his friends, I mean, it was so much fun, but he did mention pitching. So
there we go.
He understands what needs to be done for the Royals.
You talk about Nate Eaton. We'll take a break back after this on WHP. To the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's say hello to Gary Lezak. Hello, Gary.
Good morning, Victory Friday. Unbelievable.
Martini Friday.
Maybe it is. Yes, I'm working Sundays to Thursdays during the NFL season. Day off, so maybe it is. Hey, Marco, I don't know if you can pull up my tweet so we can listen to the crowd noise, because I just heard you guys in the last segment talking about crowd noise. It was one of the loud. I'm sure I've been out there where I thought this before, how loud it is.
Well, of course, it was loud. There was an issue with the sound where you didn't hear how loud it was. And I'm not the only one. It's just Nate said I'm lying, but I just proved it by reading a bunch of tweets.
No, it's amazing. You just listen out there, and then I came back and I listened to the broadcast, watched the broadcast again, and it is a talent, as Nate was saying. An audio person is extremely important. You just have to play it up at times and down at times. And after a touchdown, the audio person should know to turn it up at that moment, but they didn't. I don't know, Marco. Do you have my sound?
Do you have it, Marco?
Yay! Toss to it, Gary.
Do what Gary tells you.
I said on my I just retweeted my own tweet.
And oh, that's good.
The crowd noise. I don't know if you can play that. Oh, I don't
know. Sounds like a wind tunnel.
Wow.
anyway,
unbelievable.
It was ridiculously loud at times during the. There was one moment. I'll try to find the moment. I like to listen to the broadcast, and some of them have that talented audio person where it is a balance where you can hear the announcers, and then sometimes the announcers get drowned out. You just have right, Nate. It's like a talent.
Why were you harassing Arrow Man before the game?
Well, I just bumped into Arrow Man. I used to.
Oh, that can be painful.
It was incredible bumping into it because, you know, I used to sit in that section that he was always in, and, you know, he's just a great guy.
Did you see X Factor out there?
Yeah.
Did you saw X Factor?
No, I didn't see the X Factor.
He's supposed to be there.
He was looking for you yesterday. I was hurt.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then, you know, these Thursday night games are tough. I mean, I hope Herbert's healthy. He's an exciting player to watch. But Mahomes did some crazy plays. We got lucky. I mean, that interception, in my opinion, it's an interception. But I'm happy with the result.
Nate said you're stupid if you think that.
Yeah, idiot.
You think the ground helped him catch that ball?
I think it touched the ground.
But it can touch the ground if you caught the ball.
But he hadn't caught it fully yet.
All right.
Argue about it for just a full minute. Go. Ready? No. Make your case, Gary. Go.
It's one of those, if it's inconclusive, you have to say it's inconclusive. You can't just like, I think the ground helped him. When it's already called an interception, I'm happy. Believe me.
That's right.
But I just think it should be one of those inconclusive, and it count the interception. I'm sure it was a 50-50 call there, but we'll take the 50-50.
Thank you.
Aren't we? Because if it wasn't, the Chiefs are probably down 24-7 or something like that. It could be over. So that was an important play. But how about Watson? And Watson. How about the Watson?
If your last name was Watson, it was a good night last night.
Mr. Jalen Watson. Yeah.
Randall.
Justin Watson.
That's amazing. It really is. It was just great. Great to be out there. Great to experience that. There you go. The Chiefs are 2-0. I mean,
I'm gonna tweet out right now they're 2-0 just because you said that.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, thanks a lot.
No, I am.
First place in the West.
First place. Hey, they have the best record in the NFL.
There. I made a special tweet for you guys that I think you'll like. A 2-0 tweet.
There you go. Let me see here.
Nate's going to love it.
Oh, one
like
team,
that? Yeah.
One vision.
That's right.
Should I retweet it?
Yeah.
Okay, it's retweeted.
Yes, you should retweet it.
All right. How about that weather? How about that weather last night? Unbelievable. Great weather. Predicted. You know, I put out that forecast, you know, month before the game or so. I forecast a high of 82 yesterday, a low of 65. It was a low of 62, a high of 85. So about a perfect forecast. That's what we do here on Sports Trade 810. And expect a beautiful day today. A high temperature of about 87, 88 degrees today. There is a chance of thunderstorms tomorrow. Nate, I'm going to be out at Children's Mercy Park tomorrow.
I can't wait. Hey, you know what? And I understand that they are honoring Gary Lezak
at the
Kansas City game tomorrow night, Sporting playing against Minnesota United. And they're honoring you on an incredible career here in Kansas City.
Are they going to let him do something fun? Or what?
Are you leading the I Believe chant?
Well, I don't know. I don't think I'm there. I don't think I'm there for that because I'm not sure. But I'm definitely. I think I'm going to be. I don't know. I'm not even sure. You just let me know what's going
to happen. Well, if you stay after the match, Nate does. Give me another whiskey chant. That right after the. Don't you go to the?
I get the Riegers. You know they got Rieger there. Yeah, I mean.
Can Gary be part of that? Or not?
I believe I'll have another. Yeah. I believe I'll have another.
Will you let Gary drink with you? Afterwards.
I would be honored to have a drink with Gary Lezak.
Oh, my.
You see that?
Oh, that's great. All right, guys. Have a great day. It's Victory Friday. I can't wait to hear your breakdown of the game. A lot to break down. Some concerns, as usual, but it's a Thursday night game. So, we won. The Chiefs are 2-0. It's always hard to complain when you win. Have a great day, guys. I'll talk to you later. I'll be listening.
That's Gary Lezak, who will be honored. So what time is everything?
I don't know all the details. Well, it doesn't sound like Gary
does
either.
The man? Yeah, Gary has no idea what you're talking about. So. Was that a surprise, maybe?
I don't know. I was like, as soon as he said that, I was like, maybe I wasn't
right
supposed
now,
to
right
say
now,
that.
Right now, the people over at Sporting like, Nate, you son of a...
I haven't gotten a text message
what time
from
is
the Blake McFarlane yelling at me yet. So
what time is the match?
The match is at 7:30.
We'll get there early. That's all.
7:30.
All right, back after this on WHB.